Ephesians chapter 2, first 10 verses.
And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
In the last verses of the chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, I read that God has put all things, everything that there is, under the feet of the Lord Jesus. There is nothing above the Lord Jesus of all that has been created. Actually, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Heavenly Father has created all. And we can just as correctly say that the Lord Jesus Christ hath created all according to the will of the Father. The Lord God Almighty gave him, the Son, to be the head over all that has been created, to be the head of the church. And that church has become Christ's body here on this earth, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ is the one that is filling all in all. And if he's not going to fill something, that part is going to be empty. That church that he has created, the church that is subject to Christ's headship, Christ's loving lordship, that church is this fullness we read about in this verse 23 of the chapter 1. Why is that church the fullness of Christ? Because Christ has filled the church with his, Christ's presence and loving lordship. And now in the chapter 2, the Apostle Paul starts a sentence, and then before he ends that first sentence, he has a few verses to write in, and then later on he will finish, close that sentence. Paul started this sentence with you, and then he finished that sentence with us. This is frequently the case when Paul is writing about that transformation, our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Christ's loving lordship above us and in us, and even through us sometimes. The Apostle Paul is always ready to stand together with us. The Spirit of Christ is working in the heart and mind of the Apostle Paul, and I should say in his writing as well, so that he, the Apostle Paul, would not stay next to the throne of Christ way above us and keep us way down below Christ's feet, where our proper place is, but rather, as soon as the Apostle Paul has pointed up to Christ the Savior, just to help us to focus on the glory and majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ, next moment, the Apostle Paul will join us at the feet of the Lord Jesus and help us to listen, to pay attention, to understand the Word of God. What a teacher with the Spirit of Christ's teaching in himself. So the first part of this thought, this sentence, is in the verse number 1 of the chapter 2. The second part of that sentence is in the verse number 5. I will read it that way now. And you, who were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And then, between the first and the fifth verse, he is giving us some details of that condition. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, and now the end of, or continuation of that sentence, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And then he goes on and on. In a way, all these verses in the first part of the chapter 2 are explaining in what way the church is the fullness of the body of Christ. So in the verse number 1 of the chapter 2, we were dead in trespasses and sins. In the verse number 2, wherein, in these trespasses and sins, in the time past, we walked according to the course of this world, walking with the world, just going on with the stream, down, down, down with the stream toward our everlasting doom. Whose intention, whose desire it was? According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So now we can see again, we were the children of disobedience, and as such we were subject, slaves to sin, slaves and victims of the spirit of disobedience. In this verse number 2 we see that the prince of this world is ruling in the air. He has some power in the air. Why and how is the prince of this world, the prince of disobedience, the ruler of darkness, how is he ruling in his power in the air? This does not mean that he cannot rule in the oceans and lakes and rivers, in the water. This is not to say that he cannot rule in the mountains and valleys, in the canyons, on the earth, nor in the cities. Oh man! This prince of the power of darkness is ruling everywhere where the people, the mankind, is believing in darkness rather than in the light of the gospel truth. I don't think the word air is used here without a reason. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 3, verse 8, during the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ and Nicodemus, one of the rulers of the Jews, the Lord said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit." What I believe the Lord said to Nicodemus, that even though we can see the direction of the wind by the flying objects, by the commotion, the movement of the air. We can never guess exactly where it started, where it ended. For our human senses, it's impossible to determine where is the beginning, where is the end of a spiritual movement. And we might think that we remember something about our new birth. We know exactly when and what happened. We still know a microscopic part. Only God knows what He did, how He did it to make us newborn, born again, born from above. Being only human, we cannot measure the amount of the spiritual power that the Lord has used. He's the Almighty. What we can see is the product. We can see how much change has been accomplished in the life of a man. Or, better yet, we can check our own heart and mind to see how much we are under the influence of the Lord's Spirit, of His loving Lordship in our daily walk. So then what would be the answer to the question, how is the Prince of Darkness working in His power in the air? Obviously, the Lord was talking to Nicodemus about the Spirit of the Lord working in the life of a man. So the spirit of this world, the Prince of Darkness, is trying to imitate the Spirit of the Lord in opposition to the will of the Lord. Since the power of the Spirit of the Lord has been compared to a wind that is blowing, that is producing a certain action in the life of a believer, what can we think? In which direction is blowing the Spirit of Darkness? Quite the opposite. And if He cannot convince us to believe that His opposition to the Spirit of the Lord is actually the Spirit of the Lord, He will try to blow in a similar direction, but not exactly in the direction of the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the world is, in the best case, which might be the worst case, under some angle to the Spirit of the Lord. Does it have to be exactly like the Lord said it? Can't we relax a little bit? After all, we live in this world, and we should reach out to them in their way, or they're not going to understand us. And if none of that will convince us, then He will tell us that we are so holy, we are so righteous, so godly, we cannot even touch anyone in this world. Just keep yourself separated like the priests and the Pharisees of old. We must remember that in us is the fullness of Christ, and we may not give any room to the spirit of darkness. We know that the spirit of darkness is working in the children of disobedience. We were with them. We remember that experience. In the verse number 3, we have confirmation of that. Among them also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You see the wind? The wind of the opposite direction? The wind that is cross? The wind that is under a different angle? Just the wind that is anything but the direction of the Lord. But all of that is a reminder to us that we were by nature the children of wrath, even as the others. Once again, in the verse number 1 of this chapter 2, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins." In the verse number 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past." Is anyone left out? When he says all, Does that mean all the prophets, all the apostles, all the patriarchs, Noah, Job, Daniel, all walked in the past times? They all had that past times in their lives, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh, and even their mind was darkened by the flesh, stained with sin. By their nature, all of the human beings, the children of Adam, are the children of the wrath of God, even as all the others. The whole human race is lost, dead in trespasses and sins, in rebellion, constant and continuous rebellion against the will of the Lord. Somebody could say, what about John the Baptist? What about Samuel? The answer is in the verse number 4, but God, who is rich in mercy. The Almighty God, in some special cases, applied His mighty power to prevail against the sinful nature of the mankind in some individuals for a special purpose, and the Lord saved them at His appointed time. But the great majority, huge majority of the mankind is described here. It's a life in the flesh, in the filth of the filthy, sinful desires of the flesh, a mind polluted with the excitement, the running after evil. That is the description, the definition of us all. Ever since the human beings had to leave the Garden of Eden, and all the way until the return, glorious, triumphant return of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was not a single human being that was sinless. None but that one, Christ the Savior, Christ the Lord, Christ, the Lamb of God, the only Redeemer, the only holy, the only perfectly righteous and pleasing to the Father. As a contrast to that dark, ugly picture of ourselves, we see the bright appearance of God in Christ in the verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, because He loved us in Christ Jesus, He hath quickened us together with Christ. So by His grace and His grace alone, we are saved. And we received that grace by faith and faith alone. How come? How can it be? Since we were dead, how could we have received by faith? Who did give us that faith? The same one rich in mercy, the same one that has that great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. He hath quickened us. How? Together with Christ. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, we have the wonderful prophecy of dry, dead, lifeless bones. There we can see an early presentation of that marvelous gospel of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of His word, the gospel. But one could say, oh, I repented so bitterly. Oh, I lamented so long over my sins. Oh, how I struggled to tear myself off and away from the world. It was a desperate battle against the slavery of sin. Yes, brother, yes, sister, yes, you did, and praise the Lord, you did it. But that was not you. It was the Lord in His grace. It was the power of His grace, the abundance of His goodness and mercy upon you. We must not allow the spirit of darkness to convince us that there is any credit to us, that we have any deservings of our own. It's all the goodness and grace of the Lord Himself. Yes, we did battle. Yes, we did cry unto the Lord. Yes, we did believe. But we did all of that because of the blessed influence of the Spirit of Christ, the Prince of Light and Life, the Lord of Salvation. In this verse number 5, even when we were dead in sins, God, in His rich mercy and great love, quickened us together with Christ. How? Why? Why we had to be joined to Christ, we, dead sinners, to the perfect, righteous man, the only righteous, pure and holy man, that never had any sin in his earthly journey. Never had any sin, period. The just and holy, the righteous God cannot accept sin. And He is not going to accept a sinner before the sin of that sinner has been paid for by the execution of God's perfect divine justice. And that justice had been executed upon Christ, and He died under the load of our sins, and the Father raised Him up. And with the Son, the Father has risen together all those whom the Son has redeemed. In the verse number 6 He says, and He has raised us up together with Christ, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are here in the flesh on this earth. But the Lord Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Almighty God, upon the throne of glory, and we are in Christ, in His heart, in His mind, in His very being. We are there with Him. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 18 verse 10, the Lord Jesus Christ told us, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And again the Lord Jesus said in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15 verse 10, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And once more in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 16 verse 22, the Lord told us that the Lazarus, the beggar, was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And here, in the Epistle to the Ephesians, in chapter 2, in the verses 6 and 7, I read again, and He, the Father, hath raised us up together with Christ the Son, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? Or what has been accomplished in that beside all the other things? That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For in Him, Christ, the Son of God, and for Him, Christ, the Savior, and by Him, Christ the Lord, everything that is made has been made. He is all in all. And when we are in Him, we partake of that fullness, and that fullness is in us because we are His body, His church, the members of His body. In the verse 5 He said, "By grace are ye saved." And here in the verse number 8 He is repeating that, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." It does not mean that our faith made grace. The other way around, His grace created our faith. "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves." No, our faith is not of ourselves, because it wouldn't last, it wouldn't be good for anything if it was of ourselves. Even our faith, if it is the true and saving faith, is the gift of God, the gift of the Father in Christ Jesus our Savior. All of that, the richest, the wealth of God's goodness and grace, we could not earn the slightest portion of that. Not even a microscopic part. Nothing is a payment for our works, lest any man should boast. Why not? Why wouldn't God allow somebody to boast? Well, many are boasting without His permission. But why would God not allow somebody? Here, have it your way. Boast a little bit and I'll bless you for that. Never. Boastful spirit is the influence of the evil spirit. The boastful attitude of the Lucifer made him Satan. We are His, God's, Christ's workmanship. The Father made us with His own hands, just as He created Adam in the beginning of the dust of the earth. The Lord God Almighty, with His own fingers, created us in Christ Jesus. Why? Not to go back into sin and death, but He created us unto good works, the works that God hath prepared, has preordained that we should walk in them, the new life in Christ Jesus. If all of that, or better yet, since all of this is true and correct that we have presented in the Word of God to us, revealed to us the truth about that new birth, that amazing change, the abundant grace of God the Father in Christ the Son of God toward us, creating the heirs of the heavenly kingdom from sinners. Since all of that is true and correct, can somebody say, "I did not even repent. I did not even regret my sinful way of living. I did not even fear the judgment of God. Nothing. All of a sudden, by the grace of God, I was born again." I don't think so. I don't believe so. Actually, I know it's not going to be the truth. Yes, there were some special cases. Yes, there was John the Baptist. He had been redeemed even since his mother's womb. But Daniel the prophet, a righteous man, a just man, a man beloved to the Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed in his prayer, "We sinned. We have nothing to boast of. We can be only embarrassed, only ashamed before the holiness of God." But when the grace of God transferred us from death to life, from sin into Christ the Savior, when we are in Him and He is in us, There is no more that shame and embarrassment, no more condemnation. We have been redeemed, and now we are the body of Christ. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over every sinner that repenteth. When we repent, when we strive to separate ourselves from sin, that's the work of the Lord's Spirit in us. As we see in the verse number 10, we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. These good works and this new creation, all of that God hath before ordained in Christ, that we should walk in these good works. That's the work of the Spirit in us. In the verse number 11 he says, therefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. We should not forget that. We should not forget where we came from, just as we should remember continually and be constantly reminded by the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God, and our focus shifting back to the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, constantly reminded that we are heading toward heaven and we can reach the heavenly kingdom only in Christ Jesus our Lord. For by His grace we are saved.